From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton. The Alaska Supreme Court heard oral arguments today on the case over the proposed recall of Governor Mike Dunleavy. The justices expressed some skepticism toward the arguments made by both sides. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
The justices were hearing an appeal filed by the State Division of Elections of a Superior Court decision in favor of recall Dunleavy. That decision allowed the recall campaign to begin gathering petitions to hold a recall election in February. Due to the coronavirus outbreak, three justices sat at least 6 feet apart from each other, with Justices Daniel Winfrey and Susan Carney, as well as the lawyers, participating by phone. Assistant Attorney General Margaret Payton Walsh argued that the recall committee didn't meet the grounds for recall under state law. She said if Dunleavy could be recalled for failing to appoint a judge in 45 days, then any governor could be recalled for violating any law. Justice Craig Stowers pushed back. Here's that exchange.
If the governor can be subject to recall every time anybody thinks that he's violated a law.
But that's not what we're talking about, really. We're talking specifically about the statutory requirement to appoint a judge within 45 days, which has been subject to some investigation and controversy.
At another point, Payton Walsh focused on another of the listed grounds for recall, Dunleavy's mistaken veto of $18 million in Medicaid funding, which was later fixed.
The statutory scheme requires some sort of explanation, not just for a set of facts to be thrown out and to hang there while people try to figure out why this particular allegation constitutes neglect of duty or lack of fitness.
Former Attorney General Jonna Lindemuth argued the case for recall Dunleavy. She noted that many thousands of people must sign both the recall application and the petition to have an election.
This is already a difficult process, and this administration seeks to make it an impossible task by adding artificial technical hurdles that this court warns should not be imposed by the judiciary. If this administration wants to change how recall is conducted in Alaska, to make it more protective of officials, it can seek a legislative change.
Justices raised the possibility that some legal violations could be so trivial as to not rise to the level of subjecting an official to recall. And Justice Carney asked if any mistake could subject a governor to recall. Lindemuth said that's not recall Dunleavy's position.
What we're saying is it has to be a serious mistake that's outside the discretion allowed by law.
Chief Justice Joel Bolger recused himself from the case. Retired Justice Robert Eastall replaced him. It's not clear how quickly the court will rule. The recall campaign said on March 20th it had gathered 40% of the more than 71,000 signatures needed to hold a recall election. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Governor Mike Dunleavy plans to hold a panel press conference at 6 p.m. today. Dunleavy said yesterday that the panel would include members of the State Emergency Operations Center and that they'd highlight ways companies in Alaska are helping fight the coronavirus.
Alaska is not known as a manufacturing hub, but we do have a number of outfits, a number of companies that actually make things in Alaska. And they are rising to the request, the call to come and help.
He mentioned making personal protective equipment that healthcare workers need, swabs needed for testing, and hand sanitizer.
We've got to be more independent when it comes to our healthcare. This pandemic has shown us and much of the world that we're not prepared for everything. This pandemic will change that for the better for Alaska.
Dunleavy said he'd set aside up to an hour for the press conference to let the press ask about, quote, any and every aspect about the battle with this virus. Previous press conferences related to the coronavirus have focused on public health mandates and Alaska-specific COVID-19 updates. The 6 p.m. press conference will be live on KTOO.org, the governor's Facebook and live stream pages, and 360 North Television. With COVID-19 concerns, hand sanitizer has been flying off the shelves in grocery stores across the U.S. and in Alaska. Nationally, it's spurred a kind of movement. Breweries and distilleries have been quick to respond, creating their own sanitizer out of a byproduct of their booze-making process. Reporter Elizabeth Jenkins has the story of one Juneau distillery that went from serving cocktails to serving its community in a different way.
Brandon Howard makes gin and whiskey at Amalga Distillery. The alcohol is infused with wild botanicals from the rainforest, Labrador tea, and juniper berries. Howard remembers not too long ago, people were lining up outside for a special release of rhubarb gin.
And the line started a couple of hours before we even opened, and it wrapped around the block, and there were hundreds of people. And I can tell you that right now, hand sanitizer is a lot hotter of an item than rhubarb gin.
It's also hard to find small pump bottles for the hand sanitizer. So Howard is putting some of it in cans he normally uses for pre-made gin cocktails.
We've been calling it hand canitizer. Kind of horrible pun.
Just a few weeks ago, this scenario would have seemed unthinkable. But the COVID-19 virus is changing the definition of what normal looks like in Alaska and across the world. Amalgas hand sanitizer is made from a waste product that comes from distilling gin, a cloudy substance that's super high in alcohol content, not something you'd want to splash into a drink. Howard says for distilleries, sanitizing with ethanol isn't that strange. It's something they've been using to clean surfaces in their business all along.
I can say with great certainty that the moment there was a rush on hand sanitizer, and the moment it became a material that people in need were not having access to, distillers knew that they had the raw materials to make this product.
But Howard says Amalga Distillery didn't have everything they needed to make the 70% alcohol by volume hand sanitizer, similar to a recipe recommended by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. You need a gel-like substance so it actually sticks to the hands. DIY hand sanitizer recipes are making aloe and glycerin harder to find in bulk. So Howard reached out to another Juneau business, Barnacle Foods, for xanthan gum, which they use to thicken their hot sauce. In the last few weeks, Howard has produced 30 gallons of hand sanitizer. But he says it's not something he's looking to sell.
It wouldn't be a good example to capitalize on this situation. It's not the time for it.
What's nice is he gave us not only the cans, but he also gave us a 5-gallon jug with a pump on it.
That's Chris Schapp, the manager of the Southeast Alaska Food Bank. He says donations have dropped significantly with the COVID-19 scare. The organization still has plenty of hand sanitizer, but he says it's nice to have an extra supply in times of uncertainty. The food bank is sharing it with its partners in need, like a local domestic violence shelter.
So a couple of agencies have already come out and refilled their empty bottles with that.
Amalga Distillery eventually would like to distribute the hand sanitizer to individuals in Juneau, but it's complicated. Gatherings of 10 or more are canceled nationally. Howard doesn't want a repeat of people crowding, like with the rhubarb gin. He says he wants his community to be safe. He's still working on how to offer the hand sanitizer responsibly and equitably.
We're creative. We've gotten through a lot. We've solved a lot of problems. It's one that we'll figure out.
At this point, being flexible is pretty much encoded into the business's DNA. When Amalga Distillery first opened, it faced regulatory hurdles from the state's Alcohol Control Board. But the COVID-19 virus presents a new set of challenges. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins.
Alaska Pacific University will have a new president and its first female president come April 25th. KNBA's Trip Krause reports that Tuesday's announcement included a familiar name for Alaskans, Valerie Davidson.
Alaska Pacific University announced that Valerie Nugagaluk Davidson will succeed its current president on April 25th. The appointment will make Davidson the first female president of the Anchorage-based Liberal Arts and Sciences College. She was selected out of 21 candidates and one of three finalists for the position. Davidson has a long history of working in Alaska Native leadership, health, education, law, and policy. Beginning in October 2018, Davidson served as vice president to then-Governor Bill Walker until the end of his term. She was also the former commissioner of Alaska's Department of Health and Social Services. In 2016, Alaska Pacific University formed a partnership with Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium to explore steps to becoming a tribal college. Tribal colleges serve Alaska Native, American Indian, and non-Native students, primarily in rural areas that may not have access to larger public colleges or universities. Tribal colleges and universities focus on education, incorporating cultural relevances and place-based experiences. Ilisavik College in Ukiavik is currently the only tribal college in Alaska. In Anchorage, I'm Trip Krause.